Hey.
All right. Hey, how you doing? Oh, you're sideways.
You're sideways.
No, you're sideways.
No, you are. All right. Oh, there you go.
Look at that. Technology at its finest.
Hey, thanks for joining us.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me.
All right. So just so our listeners know, we're here live Zooming with Chris Daughtry, who's doing his live from home tour on August 18th to benefit 19 different venues around the country, including the Birchmere here in Virginia. So, hey, thanks so much for joining.
Thanks for having me, man. Thank you so much.
Now, how'd you come up with this idea? I mean, I guess we're all stuck home during the pandemic. Is this just your way to give back to everybody?
Yeah, a little out of boredom too. Like, you know, we're all kind of itching to get back out on the road. And I never realized how much of my identity was wrapped up in touring until 2 weeks into quarantine. And I'm like, who am I? You know, this identity crisis. But it's been great being at home and you know, spending time with the kids and my wife. And it's been great for that. But yeah, we wanted to do something to feel engaged with the fans. And we've never done anything like this. And we thought it would be awesome if we were able to pair up with these venues, because we know how important they are to the community. And we also know how important they are to the music industry. We played a lot of these clubs. I'm not sure if we ever played the Birchmere, but it's such a legendary club, and it just seemed really cool to be a part of that legend. And you know, we want to see these businesses hopefully stay in business and keep going.
Awesome. Now, how's it going to work? Are you recording in home there, the room that we see, or you have a separate studio? And how do we watch? Like, do we go to the Birchmere and see it on the screen, or do we watch at home?
So we won't be doing it here. It's my office, but we do have a soundstage set up in Nashville that we're renting out. And so we'll do the whole thing from there. It won't be pre-recorded. It will be live. So if there's any hiccups, you're going to see every bit of them. But we want to keep it loose. We want to, you know, want the fans to feel engaged. It's certainly weird for us because we can't see them. It's not like a Zoom call. but yeah, so you go to the respective website and there'll be a link to get tickets there. And the server we're using is paired up with these particular venues. So I do believe you go to the respective site to view it.
Okay, cool. Can we have a hint at the set list at all? Because I know you're doing Q&As and song requests, and it's going to be interactive a little, I guess. You're trying to?
Yeah.
How's that even going to work?
We don't know, but we're gonna try it out. But I think for the Q&A, they'll be able to, like, submit questions, kind of like you do on a Instagram Live or something. And so we'll be able to see those in real time. But yeah, they're for the VIP meet and greet, that'll be more of a in-person, like, Zoom call like this. I believe. I hope I'm not mistaken there, but I think that's how we got it set up. But as far as the set list, you know, wanting to certainly keep it fresh and bringing back songs that we haven't played since our first tour, from our first album, and even songs that we haven't played from our previous albums. Trying to keep it fresh. You know, we're doing a thing in each market where they get to vote on. We have a few songs that we're gonna call audibles, and they get to vote which one we play. But yeah, it's just me and my guitar player. Gonna keep it loose, try not to make it too serious, and hopefully everybody walks away, you know, having fun and experience some joy for, you know, to break up the monotony.
Awesome. Now, remind our listeners where you were in life and in your music when you know, went on American Idol. That was season 5, memories from the show, and sort of where you were in life and how that just changed everything.
Well, I was working at a car dealership. I was, you know, doing the daily grind, playing clubs on weekends sometimes to try to get my name out there. That was hard because I wasn't much of a cover band. So where I lived at the time, there was a lot of, you know, market for cover bands where they wanted bands to come in and play 3 hours, but they didn't want any original music. So it was always kind of tough to get a gig, surprisingly. And so I didn't have a steady gig. It was always kind of like one or two a month. But yeah, going on that show certainly turned the pages on that one.
Why do you think, I mean, it almost seems like the runner-ups almost do bigger than the winners sometimes. Yeah, Jennifer Hudson, Adam Lambert, yourself. I mean, What is it? Is it just the national stage for the existing talent you already had?
I kind of like to look at it that way because I know nothing was given to me. It didn't fall in my lap, and I had to work my ass off. And even after the show, it was a lot of work. I was, you know, on days off, I was writing for a record, and I didn't have days off when everybody else was, you know, hanging out and partying on the Idol tour. I'm in a hotel room writing and recording.
Good for you.
you know, it's, I believe you get in this world what you put out, and I always try to do my part.
Awesome. Now, that self-titled debut you referenced, you were working on an album, Daughtry, went to number one in 2006. It was huge. You had what? It's Not Over, Home, Over You. What About Now? Yeah. I mean, a whole generation can sing those songs, man. So it's awesome. Did you have all those, or at least some of those, in your, you know, your back pocket when it came time, or were those all written after the Idol success?
I had three of the songs on that record already written. Home was one of them. I wrote that before I even went on Idol. And then a song called Breakdown and Gone. I had those kind of roughed out, you know, in the, you know, years prior to Idol, but I did a lot of the work afterwards. Yeah.
Cool, man. I know, I think it won American Music Award and earned four Grammy nominations.
Four American Music Awards and four Grammy nominations, but still yet to win a Grammy. working on it.
The key word is yet. It's going to happen.
Yes. I believe it.
How important was that second album? Because I think Leave This Town debuted at number one as well. No Surprise was the big single, we all know.
Yeah.
But how important was it for you to show that it wasn't like, okay, I had this one album right off of Idol, but you had a lot left in the tank?
There was a lot of pressure because there was no pressure on that first record. I came in fourth, nobody cared. You know what I mean? It was, as far as like the label was concerned, it was like a safe bet for them. And I'd maybe sell few hundred thousand records, and it's no loss investment on their part. And then it did really well, and so the next record, everyone was like, you know, kind of looking over my shoulder like, you know, well, I don't know if this song is right, you know. And there was a lot of second guessing, a lot of pressure, but I kind of dug my heels in a little bit there towards the end because they didn't think we had the record, and I was like, I think I'm done writing. I'm kind of burnt out here. We've been on tour for almost 2 years, and I think people are ready to hear something new. So, it's one of those things that I felt the pressure for sure.
Well, you stepped up and delivered it. How have you think you've evolved over the next several ones? You know, your third was Break the Spell, fourth was Baptized, and then Cage to Rattle, I think, was your fifth. But how do you think you've changed or evolved or fine-tuned or even gotten better over you know, the course of this?
Well, I think I just have more life to write about now. And so I think the subject matter is a little more mature. And I think as a songwriter, I feel like looking back, I was still really green during that first record. And I feel like I've learned so much working with other writers and producers over the years. And being on tour for, you know, ever has certainly, I think, made me a better performer, a better singer. We're working on a new album now, which we're really, really excited about. I can't really say anything other than that, but
we don't know when it's coming out.
We don't know because we were kind of deep into making it when, you know, everything got shut down. So, we do have the first few songs lined up, I think, coming soon, but as far as the record, that probably won't be done until next year.
Okay. Well, bringing it sort of full circle, I think most recently we all saw you unmasked on The Masked Singer. The Rottweiler singing Sia. Talk about how it sort of brought you first full circle back onto a competition show and the pressure of being able to see who it was.
Yeah, it was extremely different from Idol in the sense that I was under this veil of anonymity the entire time. We didn't even know the other contestants. I didn't realize I was in the same competition with Seal and Patti LaBelle. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm so glad I didn't because it would have totally ruined my whole psyche. And so you're really essentially in competition with yourself and your finding it very hard to breathe in this very heavy, hot costume. And then you add choreography to it, and it was the most challenging thing I've ever done on stage, but at the same time, the most liberating.
I think you might have just flubbed into an album title, Veil of Anonymity. That's pretty
dope. There you go.
Awesome, man. Well, you've been generous with your time. We'll let you run.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and anything you want to say about the Live From Home tour? You know, why should we come on out?
We're excited to bring some joy to the fans, and we can't wait for you to join us, and we can't wait to get some new music to you guys very soon, very soon.
All right, everybody. Chris Daughtry on WTOP. Thanks, man.
Thanks for having me, man.
Stay safe.
You too.